High-quality headphones or speakers are recommended for optimal graphic audio experience. Dark blood splattered on the metal floor as Zariah coughed it up. The floor was cold, sticking slightly to his arms and bare chest as he tried to push himself up. His pants, the only thing Zariah wore aside from his combat bracers, were torn and charred black. Everything around him was red, soaked in emergency lighting.
Reactor core containment failure. Emergency evacuation orders are in effect.
One way or another, the duel was ending now. Zariah's long curly hair fell in front of his face. Mostly brown now, only a few streaks of white remained. It was almost drained of planar energy, but it should be enough, as long as his ace in the hole came through. His opponent was badly wounded as well, but he wasn't going to stop coming until one of them was dead. He never did.
Zariah!
Shockingly, the battered transceiver he had dropped was still working. He could hear Dr. Chandri's voice.
Zariah! I've opened that! Hold on to some...
Zariah finally sat up. The old familiar pain of broken bones lanced through his body, his left leg and a few ribs. Wincing, he struggled to his feet. He was in no condition to fight anymore. The fires were everywhere, trapping him in the room. It was all up to the doctor now. Slowly, Vilas emerged from the shadows. His armor was a mess, covered in electrical burns and scorch marks from their previous fight. Behind the visor, his eyes were still glowing a deep, cold blue. The bottom of the helmet was completely broken off, exposing his bloody, jackal-like smile. His left hand was filled with the dark blue flames his planar energy commanded, and his right hand carried a massive plasma hammer. The fires he strode through seemed to caress him lovingly. He wielded fire, and it would never harm him. Zariah fell into a combat stance, trying to look as though he had some fight left in him. Vilas smiled in return. He wasn't fooled. They had known each other for decades, and there were few secrets left between them.
Game over, Zariah!
Don't you ever have anything new to say?
I know. I've tried to come up with something else, but a good catchphrase takes a long time to die.
Vilas' hammer slammed down. The roll hurt like hell, but Zariah was back up in time to see another swing coming at him. He dashed back, and the hammer crashed into one of the many consoles lining the wall. As fast as the swings were, they weren't even close to full force. Vilas was toying with him.
At least I've got something to say when I win. You think after all these dances of ours, you would have worked out your banter a bit?
Again and again, Vilas swung. Again and again, Zariah barely managed to evade. All the while, Vilas grinned from ear to ear.
Ah, come on, give it a shot.
You know, maybe if you tried to enjoy our bouts a bit more, you wouldn't be such a little emo bitch.
Maybe if you'd shut up, you wouldn't sound like such a cliche movie villain.
Well, hey, there we go. Fun, isn't it?
His back butted up against a cold metal wall, dead end.
Although, I tend to think of this as more a game than a movie. Constant fighting, respawning after death, our powers growing and growing with every duel. Oh, life is good.
You're sick.
Funny, I feel just fine. You're the one who can't stomach it. Maybe you're the sick one, eh? Whatever. See you next time!
Fire!
Vilas turned to the sound coming from the transceiver. The voice was unintelligible, but Zariah knew what Dr. Chandri was saying. Vilas turned back to see Zariah with a nasty grin on his face. He didn't like that grin. A split second later, power surged back into the room. The matter replicators came to life and immediately went into overdrive. synthesized saltwater erupting from the walls with the force of a burst dam. It rained in torrents from the ceiling and crashed in through the vents. The room was flooded instantly, the water rising with every second.
No!
Vilas, eyes wide, raised his hammer to strike, but it was already too late. Zraya called on the last reserves of his planar energy and summoned forth his power. Back arched and arms outstretched, purple lightning erupted from within his body. Ceiling lights and wall consoles overloaded and exploded in magnificent showers of sparks. Bolts lanced outward, bouncing from droplet to droplet, carrying the current through the air and directly into Vilas. Zraya maintained the surge of electricity as long as he could, until it finally cut out, the last of his energy depleted. It took a moment for his eyes to readjust to the sudden darkness. He heard Vilas' body splash into the stagnant water. That amount of electricity would have killed a normal human, but neither of them were normal. Vilas would recover if Zraya didn't act now. Zraya pushed off the wall, half falling on Vilas. Knees pinning him. He punched Vilas in his exposed jaw. Over and over again. Vilas' teeth cracked and blood filled his mouth, spilling out and mixing into the water. Normally, Zraya's bare fists were extremely deadly, charged with superhuman speed and force, thanks to his planar energy. But he was drained. Just a man now. He punched and punched until Vilas' exposed face was a misshapen, bloody mess. He wrestled angrily to remove the broken helmet from Vilas' face, and it kept getting caught. So he pried at the retractable visor, breaking the hinges and ripping it off, exposing Vilas' eyes. Through the wounds and the pain, Vilas focused on him, filled with raw hatred. Zraya couldn't understand Vilas through the blood and broken teeth. It didn't matter anyway. He dug his thumbs into both of Vilas' eyes. Zraya lifted Vilas' head up and slammed it back down, over and over again, trying to split his skull open, but the water prevented him from getting enough force for a killing impact. Switching tactics, Zraya forced Vilas' head to the side and shoved it down. The convulsions changed to struggled panic as Vilas began to drown. Zraya watched every second, never looking away. Every time Vilas' face got close to surfacing, Zraya punched it and slammed it back down. Through his knees, he felt Vilas' chest spasm as he involuntarily inhaled a mix of water and his own blood. It was a horrible sight. Or at least, Zraya knew it was supposed to be a horrible sight. It seemed to go on forever. The life fading from Vilas, but never fully leaving, until finally, his struggles ceased. The duel was over, and the mangled body vanished from reality, pulled away to be revived elsewhere. Zraya felt the pull too, but he fought it.
Not yet.
He wanted to contact Dr. Chandri, to thank her for everything she had done. Zraya stood and looked around. The transceiver was completely waterlogged, and all the wall consoles had exploded. Quickly as he could, Zraya limped over to the next room. The automatic doors opened, and water poured out with enough force to knock him off his feet. He grabbed something on the wall, found his balance, and pulled himself over to a nearby console. Luckily, it responded to his presence.
Lillian. Lillian Chandri.
Dr. Chandri's face lit up the screen.
Did it work?
Yeah. He's dead.
At least that's something.
What's the status of the station?
Dr. Chandri looked down, her face very sober.
We have about 5, maybe 10 minutes tops. Zraya, what happens when you die?
I can't tell you.
Even when I'm about to die?
I'm not allowed.
Even when you and that monster are the reason we're all going to die?
They didn't say anything more for a long while. Zaria felt the pull, getting stronger and stronger.
I'm sorry, Lillian. I tried to stop him. I really did, but...
Just tell me one thing. That bad thing you mentioned. Would it have been worse than this? Would it have been worse than the deaths of tens of thousands of people on this station?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Okay.
She smiled at him, and wearily, he smiled back. For a moment, for a very brief moment, he felt better. The pull was becoming overwhelming. He only had a few seconds.
I'm sorry, Lillian. I have to go now. Thanks. Thanks for everything.
Dr. Chandri's eyes widened as Raya's body began to fade from reality.
Goodbye, Zaria.
The world melted into a muddy pool of streaking light and sound as Zaria lost his grip on reality. He sped between planes, through dimensions he hadn't the senses to perceive. Burning hot and freezing cold glanced against his skin as he existed for a fraction of a nanosecond in the center of a sun or in the depths of space. Too fast to harm, but intense enough to feel. It was like falling sideways, glimpses of planets and stars coming into his vision and fading again before he could blink. Whole universes filled with people, places, and history, reduced to so much background noise. Seeing so many worlds pass by, he was reminded of his eternal mission. The people on that space station were nothing more than a grain of sand on a beach. He had to think about the bigger picture, about the necessary sacrifices that saving worlds cost. Yet his mind drifted back to the people he had met, people that had died. The knowledge that he was doing the right thing did little to comfort him. At last, he reached his destination. The hall of his goddess, Sanandri. Glorious as always, the hall extended in both directions infinitely. At least, Zaria was pretty sure it was infinite. His speed was his most extremely enhanced ability, and he had spent hours running down the hall without seeing any change or sign of it ending. It was lit with a mesmerizing iridescence, and the air was so perfectly clear you could see the entire length of the halls until they vanished into a single point. The floor was decorated with a royal red carpet, laced with fractal patterns. On each side of the carpet, marble pillars extended upward, the ceiling stretching to infinity as well. The walls were adorned with innumerable paintings. Each was a masterpiece and could only be seen once. If you looked away and looked back again, the painting would change. The previous piece lost forever. Preparing to meet his goddess, Zaria did as he had done so many times before. He sat cross-legged in the middle of the carpet facing one of the paintings, then closed his eyes and meditated. Once all was pushed from his mind, Sanandri would appear. He focused and tried to relax. He listened to the eternal hum of the halls. Breathing deeply, he began to hear the voice in the hum. A single eternal note to an infinite song. It took longer than usual to mix. Zaria's mind was preoccupied with the most recent loss in this endless two-man war, but eventually his heart synchronized with the song. His senses began to heighten in their perception, and then Sanandri spoke.
Zaria.
His eyes opened. The painting before him expanded and engulfed the entire wall. Within the painting, a single white lotus bloomed. It morphed, twisted, and expanded into ever more complex forms until his goddess finally emerged. She was enormous, Zaria a mere speck in her presence. Her dozens of iridescent gossamer wings shifted and blossomed like the lotus, ever-increasing patterns coming and going through everything Zaria could perceive. Slowly, gently, her slender hand reached down, moving through the floor Zaria stood on, as if it were the air. She lifted him up, holding him in her hands like a precious stone.
My avatar, you have fought well and have become salvation to another plane. Its essence flows through you and becomes your own. You grow ever stronger.
Soraya felt planar energy flowing into him. His hair tingled as it returned to a brilliant snowy white. He breathed deeply, more powerful than ever before. He looked at his hands, and purple electricity danced between his fingertips, flowing up and down his arm. It lit up his eyes, and they glowed with lightning, tendrils occasionally streaking out and across his face. Fully recharged, he stood looking up at Sanandri.
Goddess, have we no way of ending this?
In time, the flame bearer moves on, and so must you.
Her hand slowly closed over him, and he was sent once again to another plane, to another duel, to save another universe.
Be brave, my avatar.
Kid always asks me that.
Having phased back to her office, Sanandri leaned back in her molded executive's chair and stretched, putting her feet up on her desk. Standing in front of the desk, her primary assistant, Zarius, adjusted his gloves.
He's empathetic.
You bet he is, just the way I like him. He cares. He knows he can't save everyone, yet every loss hurts him. He's perfect. I've never seen a Zuhudarin grow so fast. It's simply astounding.
Quite so.
Even you didn't have that kind of power when you were his age.
I wouldn't know anymore.
Right. Oh, a terrible thing, that memory madness. Forced to sacrifice your very self.
Better than having so many eons of memory that you can't function.
True. So, where are they headed next?
Zarius produced a scroll and unrolled it.
Ah, I can't believe you still insist on using that ancient thing.
This was what it was written on. I can still read it.
Yeah, forget it. Just tell me.
Looks like E08-929...
Naturally.
...5R3-TYU90-HBH33.
Ooh, joint territory. Who else is on that plane?
Looks like, This one has a bit of history. You remember Devog?
Vaguely.
Gave his subjects extremely long lifespans. Starved himself.
Oh, right. Poor fool. A perfect example of why we need to school the younger gods better. Has he passed yet?
Not yet, but it's only a matter of cycles.
Eh.
Anyway, since Devok genocided, it's just you and Katarais.
Katarais. Good old god of the Lami. This should be interesting.
She opened her desk and took out a remote. She pressed a button, and the back wall flickered, revealing itself as a massive monitor.
You're going to watch this one, too?
The first few days, at least. I have a meeting in a few cycles. So much energy in Zehu, so young. Watching them duel is incredible.
She flipped through channels until it landed on an image of Zraya, contained in a stasis sphere, streaking through space towards the unsuspecting world below him. Zarius stared at the sleeping figure for a long moment.
They are very strong.
You don't appreciate anything. You don't even deny it. Come on, Zarius. Try and take some time to enjoy the little things.
The screen's image flickered, warping and distorting. Zarius and Sanandri exchanged wide-eyed glances.
What's happening?
Zarius already had his tablet up and was navigating it furiously.
The plane is... it's isolating itself from the Omniverse.
What? How is that possible? Their societies aren't advanced enough for dimensional manipulation.
No, they're not. Not even close.
Then what?
A statistical anomaly, perhaps?
At the exact moment my Zuhudarin arrive on the plane? Bullshit.
Sanandri brought up the plane's monitors on her own tablet. Her connection to its systems was sluggish, and the signal deteriorated further as she spoke.
How long do we have?
Microcycles at best.
Well, get down there, now!
Zarius nodded and phased away, leaving Sanandri alone. She got up and paced her luxurious office. This was beyond bad. With the plane cut off from her influence, there was no way she could resurrect anyone that died within. Her perfect Zehu dying.
Unacceptable.
She had waited an eternity for this, and she was not going to endure that wait again. Even if Zarius got to the plane in time, and he was lucky enough to find one of them, it was unlikely he'd be able to stop the duel. She needed to do something, and she needed to do it now. Sinandri pulled up her tablet, canceling all her future meetings, and pulling up the address of the other god with a presence on that plane, Katarais. As soon as she got the info, she left her office. Dozens of plans were already forming in her mind, but she was going to need help and favors. It didn't matter.
Whatever it takes.
Losing her Zehu was not an option. Universe after universe whirled by Zarius as he frantically phased between realities. Light and matter blurred and smeared around him, a dizzying cacophony of rushing worlds. It was a spectacle no normal being could ever experience, but he took no notice of it. He was concentrating solely on his mission. When he finally got close to the plane Zarya and Vilas were in, he was suddenly forced to a stop. It was as if he had slammed into a wall. There was definitely a barrier, a massive dimensional barrier, sealing off this universe from the rest. He could feel it growing more dense by the moment. In mere minutes, it would be too strong for anything to break through. Mustering up all his strength, Zarius pushed against the solidifying barrier. Dumping an obscene amount of his planar energy into phasing, slowly but surely, he started to force his way through. The pressure was astounding, as if he were at the bottom of an ocean, but he gritted his teeth and willed himself onward. As soon as he got past the halfway mark, the force of the barrier began to push him inward rather than outward. He stopped struggling, and the barrier shoved him in. Sailing through space, he turned in a direction few could perceive and saw the Great Barrier, solidifying and sealing off this universe from the outside.
Sinandri was right. This makes no sense.
How could mortals at this stage of advancement possibly have gained enough extra-dimensional knowledge to pull off something this complicated? Zarius phased slightly, feeling the barrier. It was almost complete. Just before it grew completely solid, he saw a lance of godly energy force its way through. It immediately overtook him, streaking past and splitting into four parts as it hit the planet's atmosphere. So, Sinandri and the other gods had come up with a plan a little more complex than send Zarius to fix it. It wasn't much energy, not much at all. Just enough to make a few changes. Zarius hoped that it was a less desperate plan than his. It probably was. Sinandri had a way of getting things done. As Zarius finally fell into the atmosphere, he instinctively tried to phase to combat the ridiculous amount of momentum he had.
Oh, right.
But the barrier prevented him, sealing him in three dimensions. So, he couldn't phase, he was completely cut off from the rest of the Omniverse, he had no idea where Zarya or Vilas might be, and worst of all, they were unsalvageable if they died. Actually, worst of all, they had no idea that their deaths would be permanent here. Desperate was a good word. Zarius turned toward the planet he was rapidly approaching. It looked to be a relatively standard world, young and undeveloped. Aside from a network of lines that appeared to be elevated tracks, natural growth dominated its surface. The forests were covered in teal foliage, fading to snowy tundra as Zarius's decaying orbit carried him north. He tried to catch a glimpse of any landmarks as he broke through the clouds, but he couldn't see anything distinctive through all of the wind and weather. It appeared that he would be landing in the middle of nowhere. Most of his bones shattered upon impact, leaving a sack of broken flesh that didn't even resemble a human. Wasting no time, his body began glowing with a ribboning golden light, an alien beacon on the empty white landscape. In mere moments, his body reformed. He stood, brushed himself off, and surveyed his surroundings. There was a speck of a village off in the distance. At least, he thought it was a village. It was hard to tell in the whirling snow. Buttoning his faded green long coat and wrapping his red scarf around him, he set off, hoping against all odds that he could destroy this barrier before the blood started flying. Graphic Audio presents an original series, Playing Gods, Book 1, Isolation. Coming soon to Graphic Audio. www.graphicaudio.net